Hey, I'm Julie Johnson, and welcome to the Julie Johnson Podcast for the Business Gal. I am a teen entrepreneur, CEO, and founder of Julie Johnson Creative, a social media marketing agency. And this podcast is for you if you're the type of gal who wants to turn your passion into a business. Now let's talk social media, business, entrepreneurship, lifestyle, and so much more just for you from me every single week. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Hey everyone, I'm Julia Johnson, the host of this podcast, and today we have a very special guest. We have Sophia, founder of Zenerations, which is an online media website that features various topics from teens all over the world. Sophia, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Zenerations?
So, hi everyone. Thank you, Julie, for having me here, first of all. My name is Sophia Del Rosario. I am the founder and director of Zenerations. It's a youth organization and media website dedicated to showcasing the creatives, the activists, entrepreneurs, and the changemakers of our generation, Generation Z. Outside of it, I am just some basic general things about me. I am 16 years old, and I am based in Hudson County, New Jersey. My favorite place in the world is the city, New York City, and I'm a first-generation Filipino-American. And I'm really excited to be here and to talk about a little bit about my organization and some other things that I feel are really important and need to be shined light on in this world.
I love that. That was a great intro. Love that. Okay, so starting off, I'm interested. What is your role in Zenerations and what does a typical day look like for you?
So a typical day in my workday for Zenerations, my position is the founder and director. So obviously founder, I founded it in the beginning. And for director, I basically delegate a bunch of tasks to my team and my board of directors, which vary from, you know, art and poetry, like directing art and poetry, directing photography and technology, graphic design. So I have one person in a position to handle all of these different aspects of the organization. And on top of that, I come up with new ideas for new projects, new campaigns, and I help implement those, collaborate with other organizations, and go on calls and podcasts and interviews like these, and help run the Instagram account and help do some designs. And also, my favorite part of it, I do some articles whenever I get passionate about something or get inspired. I just hop on, start writing, and then, you know, push all of these articles, push all of these different media content out onto the site and onto the Instagram account.
I love that. And kind of going back to what you were saying about those people that are involved in all their positions, I'm interested. I love to know, because as a leader and as an entrepreneur, you know, we all know that we right. need to work together. It's not just about us. It's about spreading a passionate cause and sharing a shared vision, everything like that, right? So how did you find the right people to help you? Where did you like reach out to them? Was it an application process? I want to know all about it.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of both, actually. In the beginning, when I started Zenerations, I have always been, I guess, some sort of perfectionist, or maybe it's just the designer in me that always wanted to do something on my own way because I wasn't sure if other people would do it the way I wanted to do it. You know, it was all about my vision, my thing. But going into it, going further into the organization as it started growing, as people started getting more interested and I started seeing what other people were doing, I realized this wasn't efficient. When you're creating a community, things can't be about you. You have to delegate. You have to get other people involved because when you put two minds together, when you put two heads together, it can blossom into a whole different, you know, world of ideas. You can get so much out of just putting two and two together. And I think that's one of the most valuable things that I've gained from this entire learning experience, that collaboration is key to getting anything done, really. So what I did is, the person who has been with me through it all is my best friend. Her name is Lily. She does the graphics for the account. I don't know if you've checked it out or anything, but I think a really big part of the organization is being visually appealing and, you know, attracting viewership through your first glance at it. Because as teenagers, I think, especially in the digital age, we have a shorter attention span. So things that don't catch your eye right away won't hold you in. So I think definitely her and me, we started it out together. And then I started branching out into my close circle of friends, like locally, because it was easier for us to communicate. It was easier for us. And I had already known them from before. I had already trusted them and known their skills through what I've seen them do. So one of my good friends, he's the director of technology and photography, and he is one amazing photographer. His name is Jeremy. So I knew he could do that. And then some other people, this girl who is my social media manager, she's good at all things influential, you know? So I assessed these people's skills and then assigned them a role to do in this organization. And then what happened afterwards, I realized that there was so much going on in the world right now that you, like, so many different things that needed to be brought to light, so many different social issues that I felt needed to be put out there, but I couldn't do it alone. Not even a group of, you know, 8 people could do it alone. So what I did is opened up applications, which was one of, I think, the greatest decisions, because once I did that, I was able to, me and the board of directors were able to foster this community, to create this community of really passionate Gen Zers that all they wanted to do is make a difference in the world. And I think when you put all of these different people together, when you put their creative minds together and allow them to have a space to not only work on articles or just collaborate on things like this, like some serious topics, but, you know, the first day we all got together, it was like I had kind of found a family, because we all just talked about the stuff that we loved and instantly connected. There was like this thing inside me that, you know, it clicked. And I think going forward, if anyone else would want to start up an organization or do any or have any sort of initiative, I think definitely the more the better, you know, the more people that they're there, the more is the exchangement of knowledge, the exchangement of ideas, there's not just an intellectual, you know, stimulation, which I get, but also a personal bond with each and every one of them, which I think is something that is super important in any entrepreneurial or, you know, nonprofit or organizational business.
Right. That's good. That was a really good explanation. And that's awesome that you found people that you can rely on and trust on. Because I know in some organizations and even in daily life, you can trust on people for different, you can delegate things, but they don't always get it done. So it's good that you have people that are doing it and going the extra mile. And you guys all have, like I said before, a shared vision. That's really cool. What about the contributors? How do you guys find those? Do they just volunteer?
So, one thing that we really wanted to stress about Generations is the openness of it and the ability for just anyone, if you're passionate, if you have a story to tell, or if you just want to be seen, if you want to be heard, if you want your voice to be out there, you're allowed to do so. You're not allowed to do so, but you're able to, you know, you have this platform, this space, because you don't really see that much. I guess there are, but especially in quarantine in the digital age, there was really no digital platform where it was accessible and transparent for just anyone to come on, anyone to just, you know, submit work, and then it's executed through our website, and it gains, you know, visibility of what they want people to hear. And I think it's just like so beautiful to see all of these different people with different stories. They're coming from different backgrounds. They have all of these different experiences that are not only just a part of them, but putting it out helps other people relate to it. And I think that's important, because identifying people that you connect with is something that we like so desperately need, especially in this time where we can't just go out and see the world for how it always is. Seeing creatives thrive in a time when we can't thrive is something that is so needed right now. And I think that's definitely the reason that I made the contribution aspect of Zenerations so open. And so, you know, anyone can submit, just email us. Anyone can submit, just DM us. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe in the future to make it even more accessible and easier by opening, you know, Google Forms or like getting more members on the team. Cause a lot of the team writers, also do, are contributors as well. Like they just, you know, every time they get, inspiration for an article. I know one of my writers had one, like following Naira Rivera's death. She was very moved by it. And, you know, in one night she typed up this incredible piece on how we're connected to celebrities more personally through social media. And then we got that up and running in like the next day. So I think it's really, it's a community that's not closed in, you know, it's yeah. Open to anyone, open to everyone.
I love that. That is so cool that you have this outlet, like you said, that's very open, very community oriented. And I just mm-hmm. love that, especially during this time in quarantine and everything that's going on in mm-hmm. the world right now, that you have, that you decided to start this and let others show their own initiative, but you allow others to share their passions and their opinions on this website. So I think that's so cool. Cause not everyone has that initiative to do that or, yeah, they don't have that initiative or idea to open it up to everyone else. They could just start their own blog and start writing their own opinions on it. But you decided mm-hmm. to make it into a community, and that's really cool to me. Along with that, I noticed that on your website and just in your socials everywhere that you're really involved in social activism. So can you tell us a little bit about how you're involved and what you do and how you're making an impact?
So yes. So thank you for that incredible question. I have always been vocal about what I have seen in the world as a writer. I've known that I was a writer since I was a young girl, you know, and on top of that, I have always been very detail oriented. And, because of this, with every current event or with everything that went on in the news, I would, you know, dissect it, analyze it, take it apart. And, this really, fostered like my love for activism and my passion for it through, you know, debate club and English class, even, you know, me just speaking up on the things that I feel how literature can connect to the modern world. It's something as simple as that, can be a form of activism. And I think through Zenerations, I have definitely created more of a established platform to do so rather than me just speaking out on my story. And I think one of the newer forms of activism, like, of course, like, there's protests and there's marches and there's giving speeches and all of this, which are so, so important and vital to every movement. But I think one of the key components of activism today is social media. We mm-hmm. have the Black Lives Matter movement, I don't think would have gained as much momentum, especially in this digital age, without social media. Everybody is showing their support, whether it be just posting something on a story or joining in on discussions like these or jumping on a Zoom call to just discuss things. And I think through Zenerations, and you know, Gen Z is very digital based, we're very in tune with our phones and with social media. So I think one of the biggest ways we do activism is researching through different websites, crafting articles, and then translating those articles into posts that are like infographics. And then through this, people are educated. And I think one of the most important parts of activism is education and transfer of knowledge and the sharing of knowledge. Because without this, without people that, when people are misinformed, when they're miseducated, they could tend to say the wrong things. They could you know, not believe in something that is important or not fight for something that is important because they don't know any better. And so through education, and obviously people aren't, you know, they don't just go on like Google and then they just start Googling all their stuff or like pick up a textbook, you know, or they don't take the initiative to do so sometimes on their own, although this is something that's really important. Social media is easy. It's accessible. You can get on it really quick. You can see it on the Explore page. You can see it shared on someone's story. And by looking through these infographics on Instagram, as opposed to reading an article or reading a book, which of course are also important, but not as appealing or accessible to the general masses. By reading all of this compiled information through an infographic, it stays in their mind because, of a combination of things that are like, it's visually appealing, it's fluent in social media, which is something that a lot of people, it's a reason why a lot of the information gets transferred and sticks in their brain. So I think definitely since Zenerations is media based, it's internet based, you know, all of that, it's definitely, I feel at least, has made an impact not just on my local circle or like the people around me that I feel I know personally, but it's gotten global attention. Like it's getting all around the world because social media is a global thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think that's so interesting that your take on it, just that as Generation Z and everything like that, we do tend to go towards visually appealing things. So the fact that you are informing us of these issues around the world in infographics and visually appealing posts, that's just a great way to get the information out there, and it's more appealing to those people. And I'm if you've checked out my Instagram, I'm a marketer, I'm a manager for social media. Yes. And so I know a lot about visual appealing and kind of the impact that that has alone. So the fact that you're giving valuable information through visually appealing resources is just, that's genius. Cause some people, read newspapers as much anymore, or there's, you know, the Huffington Post, the New York Times that we could all go to, but you don't see people actively trying to go to those resources rather than just like, what I'm trying to say is, cause this is kind of getting everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
You'd rather see a visually appealing resource such as Zenerations than the New York Times or the Huffington Post, because they could each be talking about the same thing in different perspectives, but one is more visually attractive than the other. So I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also based on platform as well. People are more likely to spend their time on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat than they are on like the news app on your phone or even Safari. Because the thing is with the internet, like with Google, it's infinite. It's like, you can search up anything. Where do you start? With Zenerations, and by the way that we list resources on the post, we give you a guide. Like it's baby steps. People may just start out in their activism. Like maybe they don't even want to be an activist, but they want to get involved. They don't want to conform to this label of an activist and do all the heavy duty work. But just by learning about it, just by being aware and keeping it in your conscience, it's a way to, you know, get people aware of the situation at hand. It's like the news is a good thing, like of course, but you like watching the news is important, but with this global network of people on a social media app that, you know, was once reserved for like personal like posts with your friends, but now it's kind of like an uncensored like news thing, because like you can get your news anywhere and it's not like biased or anything like a lot of the news things are. Like it's anyone can get their information from anywhere, and although you shouldn't believe everything you see on the internet, it's expansive, it's global, it's something that you're familiar with, you know, like teens, like they're not gonna go and read the New York Times and the Washington Post, like you said, like some may, but the majority are just going to scroll through TikTok or they're going to scroll through Instagram and they're going to get their information from there or Twitter, like the trending thing on Twitter. That's how I get my news, like most of the time. And then, cause then I'll see like the New York Times tweet on there. So then why would I have to go to like, why would I have to read a newspaper? You know, it's all about like platform familiarity, what people, where people want to go and what people want to see. And when you combine all of these things into one, it can create something that is global and is accessible for everyone.
Yeah, that's good. Also, along with activism, I saw on your website that you guys have been involved in projects such as like the Pride Project and the Hearts for Healthcare. I would love to know more about that, like how you got involved in it, your impact, everything like that.
Right. So yeah, like I said, my friend Lily, who we've been working on Generations together a lot. She has a business, her own like small business in Hoboken, New Jersey, and it's basically handmade, like handcrafted polymer clay jewelry, and she has a lot of like great pieces out there. But one of the things that I really admire about her work and her business is that she always donates a portion or centers her designs around charity, around a social issue that she cares about. So she did one for like women's rights, and then another one for the homeless shelter. And I thought, you know, I had to go beyond, like for Pride Month, I had to go beyond just making my logo a rainbow color. I just had to go beyond saying Happy Pride Month. I felt like I really needed to make like a monetary impact, because that's where, you know, the world revolves around money, capitalism, you know,
right?
It'd be like that sometimes. But so together we went on a call and we discussed what we could do for this, for Pride Month. And we were like, hey, why don't you make jewelry that we can sell for a local center? And so we came up with the designs, and a lot of in like the small like polymer clay, like handcrafted jewelry business, arches are really popular, and arches and rainbows, you know, they go together. Mm-hmm. Rainbows and pride, they go together. So we decided to do this, and in the colors of the bisexual, lesbian, transgender, and gay flags. And it was a way to include them in the narrative, include them in everyday life, you know, like you don't need to be part of the community to wear one of these, but it shows allyship and solidarity, you know, all things like that. And it's so that, you know, they can be included in the conversation, the LGBTQ community, because there's already such little representation for them, not only in the fashion and, you know, manufacturing product like industry, but, you know, everywhere, in every field. And, you know, these people have been marginalized for years and need to be seen, and they need to be heard. So we collaborated with our local Pride Center, Hudson Pride Center, and in Jersey City, New Jersey. And we collaborated on this collection of really cute jewelry. We're selling actually all the way till the end of August, because August is Hudson Pride Month, so it's Pride Month in our county, and we were going to sell them more locally. So yeah, it's really been a great experience getting to, you know, learn more about the marketing aspects of this collection and how to do outreach and networking, and how to make it look appealing for buyers and consumers, you know. It's something that was foreign to me before, because I didn't really know the whole, the inner workings of how to sell something. But, and even though I'm not as educated or knowledgeable about it now, I got a little taste of what it is to be in this, you know, marketing industry. And I think that's something that I really like to take away, in addition to showing my support for the LGBTQ plus community.
I love that.
And Hearts for Healthcare. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
You can go. Okay. Well, yeah. Hearts for Healthcare, we partnered with Notes for Support. They were an organization that was featured on ABC News. And so our videographer, Samiksha Thacker, she is really incredible. She has her short film entered in a bunch of festivals right now. So she is really incredible. And so she created this thank you video for all of the healthcare workers right now that aren't, you know, they're like, they have lack of resources and the lack of medical supplies, and they're putting their lives out on the line. And COVID-19 is just such a harrowing experience. You know, it's something that's bad for it's like pretty much a negative experience for all of us. But then when you take into consideration the frontliners, like how much harder must that be? And they need that, even just like a little bit of gratitude, I feel, can go a long way. And, you know, there's a lot of different organizations out there that are saying thank you, like doing these works of gratitude, or, you know, creating masks for them, creating homemade masks, or raising money so that the hospitals can have more funds. And I think it's definitely something that's needed more than a lot of other issues right now that I feel aren't as important as, you know, things like Black Lives Matter, or things like keeping people alive in hospitals. So yeah, we really wanted to focus on a lot of generations is focusing on urgent issues and the urgency of some of these crises, like the Yemen crisis. We're going to have an article coming out soon on that. So I think definitely a lot of it has to do, a lot of projects, a lot of articles and campaigns have to do around what communities and issues aren't getting as much media attention, mm-hmm. or they're not getting as much inclusivity as some other people do, like, as, you know, like Black people and LGBTQ plus people, Black queer, Black trans people don't get as much opportunities or media coverage as, you know, white people. Like, obviously, yes, this is something that a lot of people have discussed over the internet, but things like this, things like marginalized communities, people that don't get attention, we gotta shine light on them because their stories need to be heard too.
Yeah, that's so impressive that you guys took that extra initiative to do not only your articles, but also to take campaigns into consideration too. So like the Pride Project, I love how you guys took that from just Pride Month all the way to August. So it's like almost like a summer campaign. So I think that's so cool. And then the Hearts for Healthcare, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so cool because it is an urgent matter. And even to this day, mm-hmm. the frontliners, it's still like an urgent matter. So I think that's so cool and so impressive that you guys took that initiative and you actually are making an impact with it. So I like that a lot.
Thank you.
As for generations as a whole, what are your future goals? Like, what are you trying to accomplish from this? Like, what do you see in like six months? Are you continuing it next year? What are your thoughts?
Yes, definitely. So I honestly, when I was speaking with my friend, she was like, I did not expect you to continue for this long or for it to grow as much as it did or for you to get as busy as it did. And to this day, it still like astounds me on how much work I do every day or how much passion that still remains in me after like, what, four months of doing it. And I hope that passion continues on into the future, because honestly, I remember the night I started it. My heart was like beating like wildly in my chest. Like, I literally cannot get to sleep because I was so excited and I didn't know what the future was going to hold, but I had always held that hope that it was going to be something great. And hopefully it gets the more recognition or more involvement than it does today, even though I'm so grateful for what I have today. I think definitely I want to expand to be chapter-based. I think this is something that I have been looking at for a long time. I know a lot of organizations have chapters or register it as maybe an official nonprofit in the state. It costs a lot of money, so I definitely still need to look into it more and start raising funds possibly, but I definitely want to continue this for as long as possible, as long as the our generation is in the spotlight, I definitely think that being chapter based and establishing as a nonprofit are one of my top two goals right now. But I also just want to create a bigger community and get as much people involved as possible, because I know there are a lot of people that have their stories and have their have something they want to say. And I know this isn't going to just be for this year. I know that people are always people like. Younger kids are going to grow up and they're going to be like, hey, I want to start writing. Hey, I want to be an artist or a poet or a musician, or I want to be a girl and be the first, you know, president, or I'm a girl and I want to pursue STEM, or I am an LGBTQ plus person, but I want all the same opportunities that everyone else has. And I think this passion and these growing needs for change are just always going to be there. Like climate change, that's never gonna, I don't know if that's ever going to be fixed. So like, there's so many issues for Generation Z. And I think a tagline of ours is, you know, the voice of the future. So the future, you know, we're always going to be working for a better life for the younger generation. And I think it could translate into all of these different age groups in some sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think definitely get more people involved, be chapter based so that I can and expand the team and establish as a nonprofit are definitely my goals for the future of our organization.
I love that. And I would love to support you in any way, because that's so cool that you want to be chapter-based.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you also mentioned, I think you DM'd this to me about monthly, it was a monthly event that you wanted to do. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I didn't know much about it.
We have been developing this project for a couple of weeks now. It's called Today's Teens Talk. So basically, this is going to be a monthly event where we get just anyone that wants to talk about something that they're passionate about. Because this was inspired by my English teacher, who really inspired me to start all of this. And he like helped me, you know, in the beginnings, in the early stages of Generations. And what he used to do for English class is do these live streams where kids would just hop on to just discuss how literature connects to the modern day. And I would go on them all the time, and I wouldn't think that I would speak a lot, but then I would end up like talking a lot. And you know, it's just like creating that opportunity to, like, even if you might like get scared or nervous before, like for this I was kind of like, oh, what if I mess up, like what if I say something? But I feel like not just for me, but this goes for a lot of people, once they get into the groove of things and they get into the groove of speaking, ideas just come, they just come and they flow. And if we get a group of people together on a call and we just discuss social issues like cancel culture or climate change, or, you know, lack of media representation for marginalized communities, like it can range from something serious to something funny to something lighthearted, but no matter what it be, getting people in the same room, in, you know, in the same space allows for new ideas to foster, for new knowledge to be learned. So I think definitely it's going to be like a casual thing, like just, hey guys, like let's just talk about this, like, you know. And I'm really excited. I hope it goes well. Me and the co-host are planning our first topic right now, and we're probably going to launch it next week. We'll see how it goes, but yeah, we're still in the stages of development for this project. And I also collaborated with another organization to start an open mic night, kind of like a live stream event.
Oh,
kind of
cool.
For like creatives that want to show their works that they've been creating in quarantine. And one thing that I really wanted to discuss is the theme of that, which is change. So change, it's, you know, it's vague, it's broad. You can take anything out of it, but we focused it on 2020. Everyone sees 2020 as a year that straight up sucks. You know, we all hate it. We're all stuck inside, can't go out with our friends. But I've seen a lot of posts circulating around the internet. Like, what if 2020 is the year of realization, the year of growth, the year that we got to think of things that we could have never dreamt of before because we were so wrapped up in our daily lives? What if 2020 is the year of change? Now it's changing. You see the momentum that Black Lives Matter has received, more than ever before. And of course, it has always deserved this attention, but the fact that it is now, and we're all banded together through this digital community, this digital network, it's just something so incredible. And I think if we keep implementing this change that we have implemented throughout this year, think about what our future could be. Think about what Gen Z could do in order to make the world a better place, to change, we label them as change makers, to make actual change. So
Yeah.
yeah, definitely love, I really enjoy that theme of the new project that we're doing. So yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I just love all these ideas you have because it all started from generations and now it's just growing and branching out to all these things. And I love your point about how your teacher helped you in the beginning because I can personally relate to that. When I first started my business, my social media marketing teacher, I told her about it back in like April, May-ish. And she was like, yeah, you should totally go for it. And for a while, she was like my business mentor because she was in marketing for like 20 so years before she got into teaching. So I can totally relate to you about how a teacher can totally impact your view and help you
Yes,
through the
they're
process.
awesome.
So I think that's so cool. And then also the live stream, the monthly thing, that's just so fun to me and exciting that you are letting other people
Thank
like share
you.
your voice on a platform that you originally started. So I think that's so cool. I
Thank
believe,
you.
yeah, of course. But basically, we are running out of time. So I'm just gonna wrap this up here. I just want to ask one final question, which is kind of like an advice question. Not that my podcast is an advice podcast, but we're all striving to grow and learn from the speakers on this. So what is one piece of advice, for, let's say, those who would like to voice their opinion, but they don't really have the platform to? So like, for example, teens. I know teens, a lot of teens in my community, we don't feel that, like, obviously there's a way for us to voice our opinions, but I feel like adults sometimes shut our ideas down because we're too young or not, we're
Yes,
too immature,
definitely.
So what would your piece of advice be for those that feel they don't have a voice?
So, what I feel, when it comes to if teens feel like they can't speak up on things because they're being shut down by the older generation, which happens very often. You think that age is a hindrance to your knowledge, or you think that just because you're young, you can't accomplish things because you don't know any better. But in the age of the internet, in the age where, resources are everywhere and there's a growing community all across the world and not just, in your local community. It's global because of social media platforms. You, as a teen, are more than ever like qualified to say that and not qualified or things like that, but you have the right to. You can. What's stopping you? If you have an opinion, and this goes for anything, like you don't have to just be, part of one political party. You don't have to just be part of one community, but literally anyone. I feel like a lot of, a big part about generations is just individuality aspect and also the community aspect. So there's this duality of, there's people that, are distinct in their own way. They shine with their own light, but also they are united as a community. And I feel like once you have that, you're aware of this. Like any teen, honestly, you have your own, thing that makes you you. You have your own unique qualities. You have your own piece of individualism, but you also have this amazing community of teens just like you that are also as passionate and also as supportive that are going to back you up in any way possible. So if you do have a voice, if you have a story, you have to get it, make it known. You have to put it out there because this is the future. The future is being outspoken. That's what it is. If everyone was silent and everyone didn't voice their opinions, there would be no way to foster new ideas, to let these new things grow, to, you know, have these new organizations and these new nonprofits and all these new initiatives and startups. They all come from collaboration. They all come from just being persevering and just going out and doing it. The first thing that my friends told me before I started Zenerations was just do it. Like, obviously, yes, it's the Nike slogan, but just do it. I think it implies that you shouldn't care about what other people think, hence the just, you know. Do it is one thing, but just do it is like, forget about other people's opinions and values and focus on your own, because if you have a passion for it, you have to let that passion out into the world. And I think just do it, as simple as it may be, it, you know, transcends everything. It's such a wide range of things that you can interpret it as, you know, you go out and get it. You don't let anything stop you. You go change the world, not because anybody else is stopping you or because anybody else wants you to or because you want to prove something, but because you actually want to make a difference. And so, yes, that is what I have to say. No, so, yeah.
Excellently said. So all the listeners out there, make sure to take that piece of advice. Really, if you have an initiative, start it. You always have a community such as Zenerations to back you up. So
yes, we got you.
Yes. Okay, so thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode and with me and Sophia. Sophia, do you have any last words you would like to say?
No, but I would just really like to thank Julie and this entire incredible podcast for having me on. I really had a great time just talking about what I feel is important, and I'm really glad that you've given me this opportunity. And honestly, you're so sweet and super nice, and you're gonna go and do great things, and you're gonna go so far with all of the stuff that you were doing, and, you know, featuring people so incredible. thank you.
Wow, that's so sweet. But yeah, I will link everything of Sophia's and Zenerations down in the show notes, so you guys can totally go check that out. Give her the support and love that she deserves, because starting an initiative like this and having it grow so fast is so impressive and incredible. And I will see you guys all in my next episode. Bye.